This is Good Friday, the day when we remember that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Why in the world would we call it Good Friday? Why would the cross, something that was the most brutal, vicious, vile instrument of execution that man could devise, torturing someone to death, why would that cross become the focal point of beauty, turned into jewelry that people wear around their necks, placed in sanctuaries in prominent view so that it is the focal point that people look to, placed on top of spires reaching up toward heaven? Why would the cross become a thing of beauty and the day of Jesus' death be called Good Friday? The Bible's very clear about the answer, and that is, this was God's plan for our salvation. There was no other way for us to be saved. I want us to look at two passages this morning. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel, that is good news. That's what the word gospel means, is good news. I want to remind you of the good news I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. The Apostle Paul says, I want to remind you of something. You already know this. If you didn't know this, you wouldn't be followers of Jesus. This is what it's all about. I want to remind you of this, which I passed on to you as of first importance. This is the most important thing. Every day, students want to know, what's the takeaway? What's the main point? This is the main point. It's the good news right here. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. It is all about Jesus. The gospel is all about Jesus. The gospel is not about anything we've done. The gospel is not that if you will just do this, this, and this, then you can be saved. That's not the gospel. The gospel is all about Jesus and what he has done. And what has he done? He died. Why did he die? For our sins according to the Scriptures. Please note the phrase according to the Scriptures. He didn't just die. He didn't just die for our sins. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This was the plan of God. This was not something God had to work into his plan. Jesus is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. And when we see him in glory in the book of Revelation, John looks to see the Lion of Judah. And what he sees is a lamb looking as if he's been slain. Because he was. He died for us. And glory is seen in what he did. We want things to be different. The disciples wanted things to be different. They wanted a Messiah who would come into Jerusalem and overthrow the Romans. Jesus came into Jerusalem and quietly overthrew everything. He turned it all upside down. Because Jesus took everything that stood against us and nailed it to that cross. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom because the perfect sacrifice that all the other sacrifices pointed to had now been offered. And there was nothing else left to do. The blood of bulls and goats, utterly superfluous. Imagine, back in January, I believe it was, had the blessing of spending a few days with my wife at a beautiful resort in North Carolina. I'd had a tough 2 years and a lot of travel and being away from her too much. And it was great to get a few days and go and be with her. And every evening when we would go to dinner together, I would sit there and look at her picture. Do you think? No, of course not. I looked at her. I even took out my camera and took pictures of her at dinner. Okay? But you see, I wasn't wanting to sit there and look at a picture. I could do that when I was on the road away from her. But when I'm with her, I want to look at her. Jesus opened the way into the Father's presence by his death on the cross. Last evening I watched what was billed as Stephen Colbert shooting down some skeptic about Jesus. Unfortunately, whoever posted that on YouTube as if Colbert was shooting them down doesn't understand Colbert's sense of humor at all. And I am not recommending this video, but it did give me an opportunity to see one of the latest morons who's out there trying to undercut the authority and trustworthiness of Scripture. Suffice it to say that one of the objections that was raised to what happened to Jesus was the differences in the gospel accounts about the various things that Jesus said on the cross. And one of the things that was cited that showed Jesus' real mentality as far as what he was really feeling when he was there on the cross was that Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was real. That wasn't acting on Jesus' part. He really said that. He really meant it. But you won't appreciate what he really meant unless you know that he was quoting one of the greatest hit songs of all time. What are you talking about? Jesus was quoting from the Psalms, and I want you to look at what he was quoting. If I were to ask you, apart from this school where we all have to memorize Psalm 1 first thing, if I asked Americans in general what is the most famous psalm, what is the most famous psalm, folks? The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay. Go to the 23rd Psalm and then go back one. Look at Psalm 22. I'm going to read it to you, because this is what Jesus quoted. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O, my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was doing what he had done before he went to the cross and what he would do after he rose from the grave. He was teaching his followers, this is happening according to the scriptures. I'm surrounded by Gentiles. They've pierced my hand and feet. See, where does it say Gentiles? It says dogs. That's the term in the Old Testament and among many of the Jews in the New for Gentiles. How many of you in here are Gentiles? Okay, well, we're a bunch of dogs here. It's all right. God's people are called sheep, and that's no compliment either. If you ever spend time with sheep, you will realize he's not saying, what an intelligent bunch, okay? What a wise and savvy group. You could make it on your own, couldn't you? Mm-mm, no. I'm surrounded by Gentiles. They've pierced my hands and feet. All my bones are out of joint. My mouth is totally parched. The people are standing there mocking me. They're wagging their heads back and forth and saying, yeah, look at him now. Let the Lord save him if he's really his. It's exactly what happened. But what in the midst of it? He says, the Lord has not forsaken me. He's not despised my suffering. And the outcome of this is going to be not only victory, But it's going to be that people all around the world through all the generations to come are going to be brought to faith. And they're going to bow and worship. When Jesus quoted the opening lines of this great song, Jesus was telling his disciples, though they didn't get it at the time, that this which is happening is according to the Scriptures. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And when we say he died for our sins, what we're saying is that we are the ones who deserve to die. That we are the ones who made a mess of things. That we are the ones who would have rightly received God's wrath if we got what we were entitled to. We deserve it. Jesus, in the garden, prayed, "Father, if there's any other way, if it is possible, please let this cup pass from me." But you see, there was no other way. It was not possible for us to be saved apart from Jesus taking our penalty, taking our punishment himself. That's how serious sin is. Sometimes we act as if it's a trivial matter. And tragically, sometimes people who have been taught the gospel of grace, the good news of God's grace, have the most flippant attitude of all about sin. And that is, well, I can do it. It's not a big deal. I can be forgiven. I mean, what's the big deal? The big deal is Jesus died for our sins. He died to take the punishment that we deserve. It's that serious. If you want to see how much God loves us, look at the cross. Amazing. If you want to see how serious sin is, look at the cross. That's what happened to Jesus when he became sin for us. God hates sin. And God grant that we would learn to hate it also. That we would despise those things which offend God instead of acting as if it's no big deal. It's not a problem. God have mercy on us. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor Him. Revere Him, all you descendants of Israel. For He has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden His face from him, but has listened to His cry for help. Imagine Roman soldiers casting lots for Jesus' clothing. They'd never sung this song. But it was prophesied by David all those generations before. Because God didn't just have a general sense of what was going to happen. God knew exactly what was going to take place, and God orchestrated the events in such a way as to demonstrate His glory while purchasing our salvation. A famous New Testament scholar among Southern Baptists, considered perhaps the greatest New Testament scholar that Southern Baptist had ever produced at that point in time, used to teach at Southern Seminary, and he made the statement, much to the shock of his students, that it really didn't matter how Jesus died. He said, in fact, Jesus could have fallen off a cliff and it would have had the same effect. Wow. Well, he's got a PhD. He's a respected professor of New Testament. So he must know what he's talking about. Let me tell you, based on what he said, I have no reason to think for a moment that he even knows Jesus. Because what he has done when he makes such a statement is to take what God says about the subject and throw it out the window. Because he wants to be innovative. He wants to be sophisticated. We need to understand something. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And after the fact, Jesus explained to his disciples Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, and their hearts burned within them. They were amazed because they'd never seen that before. But Jesus opened their eyes to the truth, and he opened their minds, and he opened their hearts, and they began to recognize this is exactly what God ordained. All the way down in Egypt, when God instituted the Passover, he told Moses to have the people kill a lamb and take some of the blood in a bowl and put it in the doorway of their house and take a hyssop branch and dip it into the bowl of blood and then mark on the top of the door and the two sides of the door. What were they doing? They were making the sign of the cross over the door of their home with the blood of the Lamb. John the Baptist introduces Jesus because that's what he was sent by the Father to do. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It's not just saying, well, I don't know what happened, but according to the Scriptures, Jesus died for our sins. No, it's saying he died for our sins exactly the way that God had ordained, exactly the way that the Father had promised. This is not a fluke. This is not an accident of history. This is not man's triumph or Satan's triumph. This is God's triumph. He won our salvation by his death on the cross. And that's why this is Good Friday. Because on this day, when we consider the horrible suffering that he endured for us, we realize he did it for us. Amazing. I didn't deserve that. You didn't deserve it either. But he freely gave his life. In obedience to the Father and because he loves us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I am so grateful. I want to say thank you to him. And I want to do it the way that he said he would like. What can I offer? Well, let's see. He already owns the universe. So whatever I bring to him is something that is already really his. What does he want? Well, the first command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So I'd suggest we ought to start there. Love him. We love him because he first loved us. Okay, we need to work on that. Anything else? Well, yes, he said we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Ooh. I thought it was hard to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving my neighbor? That's a challenge. Well, remember what he did for you and how much you deserved it. Not. Okay. So loving God, loving my neighbor, anything else? Well, when it comes to loving your neighbor, Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers, you do for me. So find those who cannot repay you. and serve them the way that Jesus deserves to be served. Love them. And don't forget, He commands us to forgive those who've wronged us. Doesn't say we have to trust them. He says we have to forgive them. There's a big difference. But we really do have to forgive them. And Jesus says that all the nations are going to bow down. So, as you go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that He has commanded us. And here's His promise. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your amazing grace. Thank you that Jesus took our place. Help us not just to believe it intellectually, but to live it out existentially. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.